Hello, this is Evangelist Vincent Skinner, and you are listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses and stirs a hunger for God in you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your life through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. We can turn, who can remember our key scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, say it, you should know, we shouldn't even need it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you know that if you study the New Covenant, this scripture basically encompasses it all? Do you know that? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. It's a wonderful thing. In fact, if you have those three things, it's pretty cool. You're a good Christian. You know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. That means something has happened, something has matured, something has developed to the point where you are content. A lot of Christians are not content, constantly fighting. Now, there's good. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. But if you see Jesus in the middle of the storm when they were in that boat, what was he doing? Thank you very much. Astute theologian. he was sleeping. His head was on the pillow. And they woke him up. They were panicking. They were saying, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that we're all going to die? And Jesus looked at them and later on rebuked them. Because he said, because you know what? He got up, he calmed the storm, and then he rebuked him. He said, where was your faith? Amen? So say that verse again. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. I can go home now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. It's going to come up there now. And, how many of you know that we are in what we call the new covenant? Aren't you glad that we're not part of the old covenant where they had to, go and slaughter all those animals? I mean, it was kind of, praise God. This is the commandment of the new covenant of which you are part of if you are a born again believer. And it starts out and it says, and this is his commandment. Did you know that the new covenant has a commandment? There are commandments to what you are part of today. Yeah, they are. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Wow, turn to somebody and say, that's really complicated, Vincent. Come on. This is his commandment, that you believe on the name of his son. But now understand, can you see how it's been phrased? Believe on the name of his son. Who's talking? Whose son? The God. The Father. Yeah. His son. Jesus. Believe on his name. Now, we say, oh yeah, Vincent, of course we believe in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus we use as believers all the time. But there's more to this, you see. You see, in that scripture that we quoted earlier where it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. This is actually what we're talking about this morning. You see, why believe in the name of his son, Jesus? Because if you go to Philippians, we won't go there today, but I encourage you to read it when you get home. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus was given the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. It says that. But the reason he was given the name was because of what he did. He humbled himself and went all the way to the cross. He did that. And God highly exalted him. And gave him the name of Jesus, which is above every name. So you see, when
when we say Jesus, sometimes to us it's just a Christian bumper sticker. You know, our problem in Christianity sometimes is that we're full of Christianese. We use this and we use that, we use terms, but sometimes we forget why those things have value. Why it says, the Father says, believe in the name of my Son. Because you've got to understand, that name was given and made the name above all names because of that great display of love that Jesus gave. Come on. Turn to Isaiah 53. You see, when we talk about God's names, the names of God speak of who He is. In other words, the names of God describe His character, His person. It displays His love. In other words, it's like pulling back a curtain and looking into the heart of God. And so what we're going to do a little bit today, we're going to pull back the curtain and we're going to look into the heart of God. We're going to look into the name of Jesus. And why that name is the name above all names. Why the Father said, you know what, Jesus, you honored me. You did what you did. So moved me. So moved the courts of heaven that I will highly exalt you and I will make your name a name above all names, that in the end every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Yeah. Come on. This is very important. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Let's go there. Some of you, do you know this verse? It says, surely He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word griefs there is sickness, and the word sorrows there is the word, it means pain. All right. Surely He carried our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses and He carried our pains. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. You see, Jesus, He was your and my substitute. You see, before Jesus did what He did, what happened to Him should have happened to us. We were guilty. Tell somebody, you were guilty. You deserve death. You see, who is God? You've got to understand, who is God? God is altogether powerful, altogether holy. The fact, I mean, the very name, if you go into the names of God, of God Almighty, you know, the names like Elohim and Jehovah and all these names, and you look into the meanings of it. One of the things that stands out is that God is altogether pure. He is altogether holy. And sin cannot stand in the presence of holiness. Therefore, when it comes to sin and who God is, His holiness, it demands judgment. It demands death. Not because God is a cruel God, but because those things cannot stand where He is. It cannot be there. Do you understand? See, the problem in the world today is that there's people lose the concept of who God is and they lose the fear of God. That God is creator. I mean, look, everything that is He did. Now some people say, but then why evil in the world? Did God create evil? That's always the question, isn't it? Who created evil? Well, you know what evil is? One person said it like this. I think it was Albert Einstein, the professor, who said yes and mocked God and said, you see, if God created all things, you know, because Colossians says that, then why evil? Albert Einstein stood up. He said, Professor, I want to ask you a question. What is cold? You know, where things freeze? The professor looked at him and said, well, and gave all the technical answers. He says, well, technically, freezing cold is the absence of heat. And he asked the question again. He says, what is darkness? And he says, well, darkness is technically nothing. It's the absence of light. And he said, well, you see, Professor, God did not create evil. Evil is the absence of God. You see. And that is what sin is. Sin is what is eating away at society. You see. And that sin, that darkness, that before a holy God, it demands judgment, it demands death. And before Jesus, I tell you what, man was in trouble. But Jesus became our substitute. Tell somebody, He is your substitute. So when you say, Jesus, you are the Lamb of God, it's not just to get a nice fluffy picture of a beautiful little lamb and there's a little pierce in his side and there runs the blood. Come on. What is that? That is stupidity. That is religion. Jesus is the Lamb of God. In other words, He took the death. He took the penalty on your behalf. He took your place. And that's what that word bore. He has borne our sicknesses and our pains. Yet we esteemed Him smitten, stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. Come on, let's move on to the next portion. Oh, I love this. But He was wounded for our transgressions. That word wounded there means He was beaten down. He was, you know, there's other scriptures, we don't have time to go to it, but it says that He was beaten beyond recognition. All right? He was beaten beyond recognition. There's portions of scripture that actually says that His innermost parts were exposed. Now, I know you say, well, Vincent, come on, we're in Sydney, we don't need to hear all this bloody stuff. But you know, that's the problem. We forget the price that we have to be able to be partakers of what we even experienced last night. What we even experienced last night and last year or whatever, your salvation, that has an eternal price. Jesus Christ paid for it. Beaten beyond recognition. It says that His innermost parts were exposed. Because if you go back into those days with the Romans, they had a thing called the cat of nine tails. It had a little ball in it, little pieces of glass or bone or whatever, and they tied it and went, and I mean, it says he was beaten 39 times, but there were like 7 to 9 to 12 strings of this thing. So when it went into His flesh, it dug into the flesh and tore it out. And then people say, Jesus is a wimp. No. It takes a man. Because every time it beat Him, every time, I mean, it even says that when He went before the authorities of the day, that they beat His face. They tore His beard out. I mean, who has a beard here? Anyone with a beard? Come on. What would happen if they tear your beard out? They're not just going, oh, look at this cute little think, oh, look, we got some hair. No, you tear a beard out, that's the flesh, that's everything, it comes out. Now, I know this sounds gory, but I want you to see the value behind why God says, believe in the name of My Son. Believe in the name of Jesus, what He did for you. That is why that name is above every name. They beat Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. And it wasn't a nice little cushion. It was a kind of thorns. And when it went into His head, they dug it in there. They spat on Him. He was wounded. Why? Because of our transgressions. Transgressions means disobedience, where you have fallen short. When it comes to the law and the commandments of God. Come on. Got any Christians here this morning? See, you don't hear this preached so much anymore in many churches because they want everybody to be comfortable. But the problem with that is then there's not a sense of sacrifice. It's not a sense of why do I give my life to God? Why do I lay my life down? Why do I find joy in giving it all up and saying yes to Him. Why do I count it a joy to even suffer for Him? Why? It's because I know what He did for me. It does not even compare. It does not even come close. It doesn't. He was wounded for my transgressions. See, you go put yourself in there. He did it for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He was bruised for my iniquities, for our iniquities. That word bruised there means He was pierced. I mean, the thorns pierced Him. The nails in His hands, His feet pierced Him. When He hung on the cross and they say, well, and they wanted to make sure He was dead, they pierced Him in the side and they lanced Him. Come on. He was pierced through for your iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Those sins of the heart, those inner sins, those inner motives, those things that's there. Those secret sins. See, God wants your heart. And what separates us from Him? Sin. He wants, we've been talking about fellowship with Him all weekend. Come on. You don't understand the price behind that fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, meaning that you have intimacy with God, you spend time with Him, you are able to enter into His presence and be with Him and hear His heart and He knows your heart. That's just in a nutshell what fellowship is. That fellowship, that relationship with God, you got to understand the price behind it. That's what this morning is about. That's why it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He was pierced through. Say that, He was pierced through for my iniquity. For those things that happened on the inside. I mean, I tell you what, if we had to just put a recorder or even a video and film or record some of the stuff that happens in our hearts, we would be embarrassed just even to play it back here this morning. Am I telling the truth? He was pierced through for our iniquities. Come on, say it. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was pierced through for my iniquities. And it says, and the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. You know what that means? First of all, you've got to know what the word peace is. The word peace means the curse was broken. The curse that was on the, that came into the earth because of sin. He was chastised. You know what that word chastisement means? It means to be disciplined. If you study it out, what it literally means is that he was taken, he was bound, he was beaten, and then he was taken to the point of his death. That's what chastisement means. So that you could find peace. So that the curse of sin, everything that comes with it, can be broken from your life and you can find peace. That's why it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Now you'd be surprised. This message today, the gospel message, there are some people that don't even know it. They sit in church, they call themselves Christians. And they are Christians, I believe they are. But they don't know the gospel. They don't know why. Why am I a Christian? Why can I be saved? Why am I forgiven? Why can I be healed? Why am I able to receive the Holy Spirit? Oh no, the Holy Spirit is just an option. Option? What option? You dishonor God. You dishonor the blood of Jesus. Because it was when His blood was shed and that Jesus rose from the dead after paying this price. It says He ascended to the right hand of the Father and received the promise. And fellowship was restored. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit today is proof that when Jesus rose from the dead. It's not an option. It's not like buying a car and say, well, I want leather or I don't. It is Christianity. It is the gospel. The chastisement, the discipline, they bound him, they took him. And it also means, and they falsely accused him. That's what it means. How many of you like to be accused of something you're not guilty of? Anybody? Yeah? Oh, you all like it? Just, come on. No, honestly, do you like that? Well, that's what they did. They accused him. They mocked him. And who was he? He was he was Son of God. He was the Son of Man. There he was standing. I mean, the Bible says he could have called upon multitudes and multitudes of angels and they would have been there. But you know what? He leaned into it and he gave himself as a sacrifice. And you know what? He had you and me in mind. Come on. And it says, and by his stripes, or more direct translation is by his wounds, his cutting wounds, you were healed. The gospel message in a nutshell is Jesus was our substitute. Jesus, thank you. For going to the cross on my behalf. I was guilty. I deserved death. I deserved it. I deserved that, and you took it in my place. That song we sang, "You're worthy of it all." Oh my God. Is he not worthy of it all? When he comes to us and he says, I love you. Well, Lord, I don't know. You know, I've got father issues. I've got mother issues. Come on. Come on. Don't forget what he did. Never forget what he did. It's a good antidote to keep you on fire. To keep you committed. To keep you serving God. When you're going through a hard time, you say, you know what? This is hard. I know it's hard. But my Savior, what He went through, He did it for me. So that I can go through what I'm going through and find the victory on the other side. See, Jesus hung there. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. He gave up and he died. And they came and they tested. They pierced him in the side. And blood and water flowed, which was a sign to them that he was dead. So people say, oh, well, he never really died. Well, there's proof, because if you know anything about the human body, that's proof, if you know the medical side. They took him down and they put him in that tomb and they rolled a stone in front. But you all know the story. How many of you know the story? Come on. But you know, here's the thing. Every time you hear the story, every time you read it, every time you go over it, for me, it's like the first time. I never want to ever take it for granted. I hear it even as I'm preaching it now. I'm saying, God, let it be like I'm hearing it for the first time. That it so pierces my heart. That it so pierces my soul. That I want to say, where can I bow my knee to a God like that? Who made a way for me, took my place. You know, on the third day, the power of the Holy Spirit entered that tomb and rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that is good news. You know what? If Jesus had stayed dead, all that what we just read now would have just been another death. But the fact that God Almighty, the one that we read about that said, this is my commandment, that you believe on my son, believe in his name, Jesus, that Father said, it's enough. It's enough. It's answered the need that heaven requires for the sins of humanity. And the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, entered that tomb and rose Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Now there's a wonderful scripture that says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, that same Holy Spirit that raised Him from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah, I'm telling you. Come on, He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think or even imagine. According to what? According to the power that works within you. Do you think that was something that just came? Do you think? No, it was not cheap. There was a price. That's why the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. And that's why he wants to take who Jesus is, and he wants to form and fashion and establish Christ on the inside of you. Because the blood of Jesus to this very day, while you're sitting here, still speaks on your behalf before God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to read all those verses together now. Let's go back to the beginning. Verse 4. Come on, read it with me. Surely, borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are. Hallelujah. What can I say? What can I say? You know how powerful this gospel is? I'm going to give you a testimony. It's one of the most powerful things I've seen in my life. I was in the southern part of Brazil. I'm not sure if I shared it here before. And this girl came in. She was probably 18, 19, 20. I can't remember. You know, sometimes age, you can't tell. But when she came in, you could see she was, obviously, she looked like death was all over her. You know, you could tell she had given up on life. I don't know what happened to her, you know. So in the meetings, the Holy Spirit came on her and she fell to the ground and she started to scream and cry. She curled up into a fetal position. And I thought, my God, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll fast forward. I'll give you and then I'll tell the rest of the story. You see, from the time that she was a little girl, okay, she was repeatedly abused and raped by her family members. And the family members were so disgusting they'd even let their friends come in and have a go. And it happened through her life, from the time she was a little girl all the way into that present time. Now talk about being broken. Talk about pain. talk about hurt, and we think we have problems. Now, I want to give you an extreme case like this so that you can see the power of what I just shared with you. All right? Can you imagine the anger and the hurt? She already tried to kill herself in her own life 3 or 4 times at that point. Can you imagine the depression and the... I mean, we don't even want to go into all the stuff that was going on with her. But there she is, on the floor, curled up in a fetal position. I mean, the emotion and the pain that you heard coming out of her. It was like nothing I've ever heard in my life. I said, Lord, how can we... I said, she's broken. It's like, how can you put the pieces back together? But what I saw that day, I saw the power of the gospel. I saw the power of God's love. I saw the power of the name of Jesus. Because she laid there, she went through those, she was screaming, she was doing all those things, and she curled up in a fetal position. And it was, I mean, she did it a lot. It was so intense that there were some people in that room, they said, oh, we can't take this, we can't take it. They ran out. You understand? But I tell you what, I don't know how long she was that way. But suddenly, she went still and she laid and she spread out like this. And she started to cry. And you know what she started to say? She said, God, I forgive them. Think about it. She said, I forgive them. I forgive every one of them. I ask you not to judge them. Now think about that. Think about that. Here's this girl from the time she's a little girl. And here she is under the power of God. Here she is being touched and healed by the power of the gospel, by the Holy Ghost. And her response is, Jesus, don't hold it against them. Forgive them. I forgive them. Please forgive them. She was crying for them. And you know what? She started to shake under the power of God. Tears were rolling down her eyes. And next thing you know, joy erupted on the inside of her. And she jumped up on her feet and she started to shout, I am free! I am free! I am free! And she was running around and she says, I'm free. For the first time in my life, I feel normal. Come on. Do you understand this? It's just not so that we can be a bunch of happy clappies. So we can say, oh, yeah, God, yeah, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. No. This is life-changing. That was somebody that really, the medical world, the psychologists would say there's no hope. It's done. We can just try to help her through it, give her a bunch of medication. But not with this Jesus who was wounded, pierced through, hung on the cross, paid the ultimate price. His insides exposed, bleeding for you and for me, and he was God. Now you want revival? You want a move of God in your life? Then recognize the value of the cross. And the power of the name of Jesus. And why there's power behind that name. It is love. It is altogether about God loving you. He did it all. And you know all he asks you to do? Is to believe. That's it. Just believe that what I did for you, that it's true. Believe in me, he says. Believe. Have faith. That's it.
Jesus. He's your substitute. Isn't that wonderful?
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can find it too. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next time.